Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 2, I taught that grace never justifies the old things. The old things must be passed away. Let's end the week on that thought today. Foundation for the Bible stands. There's something else that we can recognize in this last time. Go back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. You know what the idea is there? They don't want to go that way. You know, we want to drive on the four lane. We don't want to go on the two lane road. This is the easier way. Oh, this is the best. Oh, this is the most smooth way. Listen, that preacher preaching against sin, taking stand, having standards, that's not good. We're not going to go that way. And so they never turn to Christ as they ought to. See, what you need to understand about Matthew 7, 13, and 14, he's telling us there's not many roads to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And secondly, you must see that that way is a straight and narrow way. Now, as we read earlier, God is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And since he is, we know that those who, how should I say this, those who teach grace have the liberty to fulfill the lust of the flesh. All they're doing, as Jude 4 says and predicts of the last days, they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Anything goes. There's no standard. There's no rule. That is a person being influenced by the spirit of Antichrist. Now, God never contradicts 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Grace never justifies the old things, so the old things must be passed away. And behold, all things have become new. In Jesus' words in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, doing the will of the Father which is in heaven, you're working your way? Oh, no. What is the will? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All, not just the elect, all. He wants all to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. As 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, God, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the Bible says. I go along with the Bible. Okay, there are men that try to say differently, but God is right. Men are wrong. Then he goes on, verse 22 of Matthew 7, says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, isn't that interesting? The Lord doesn't argue that any of those points. They may have done exactly what they said. They may have prophesied in his name, that is preached. They may have cast out devils. They may have done many wonderful works. But you see, all of that is dealing with, hey, we earned heaven. No, we're saved by grace. We've got to admit we're low-down sinners that deserve to go to hell. And you don't think you ever deserve to go to hell, you're not saved. We all, every person born into this world deserves to go to hell. But we have a Savior. His name is Jesus. But he must be received. And he says in verse 23, after saying, they say, we've done many wonderful works. He says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's not that, well, I used to know you, but I really don't know you anymore. No, it's not what he says. I never knew you. It's not that you, oh, you was right, but then you got away from, no. He says, I never knew you. See, you thought you were working your way. You were earning it. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47, Jesus is talking to his disciples before he's getting ready to depart from this earth. He's already been crucified and risen. And he says unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Okay. That's what he did for us. He died for our sin. 3 days later, he rose bodily from the grave. That's not figurative. That is literal. And as a result of him doing that, he says, the next verse, and that repentance and remission of sins, that is forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, he's saying to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name, that is, in his person. It's through his person one is saved, and only that way. That's why we read John 14:6 earlier, that he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And also Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is still the only way of salvation. And so we rejoice. When he says, him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. We rejoice when he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the spirit of Antichrist will militate against these thoughts. As 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, today is the day of salvation. And look, they will tell you, well, there's still time. And when you are taken in by that foolishness, it'll lead to hell. For Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Don't be so foolish to be taken in by the foolish counsel of the devil. Now, my friend, we saw several times here that Jesus is talking about repentance. The Bible talks about repentance, and Mark chapter 1 says that he went preaching repentance. That Jesus did. Now, I've got people that won't have me, that used to have me in, won't have me in anymore because I preach repentance and faith is important in salvation. And they think, no, you just believe. I had one guy that I don't have him anymore because he stood in my pulpit one day and says, the Bible doesn't say repent. It doesn't say call upon the Lord. It just says believe. Well, the Bible does say the things that he said it didn't say. And he's asked to come back several times, and every time my answer's been the same. No. Please understand, saving faith includes repentance. Repentance is not doing anything. It's not a work. Not an act, it's not a deed or a right of some kind. That is an R-I-T-E, right? Rather, it is a change of the direction of one's heart. It basically means an attitude of the heart in turning from sin and self and turning to God. See, somebody said, well, repentance just means changing the mind, yes, but it also means turning. You're turning from, in your mind, one thing to another. Those that said to Matthew 7:22, look, we've preached in your name, we've cast out devils, we've done many wonderful works. See, that was self. Now they're turning from what they have determined makes them acceptable in heaven and turning to God, realize they're not acceptable, and receiving Christ as their Savior, realizing they're sinners. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, Paul emphasized repentance towards God, because Almighty God and His holiness and His person, God is the Spirit, is the one against whom all sin is. No matter what the sin is, even if we kill somebody else, it's still against God. Whether we lie about someone else, it's still against God. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? In the fact that He died. When He was dying on that cross, He was dying for every sin you ever have and ever will commit. Now, you have seen pictures of people trying to describe the cross. And yes, He was beaten with the Roman cat of nine tails, which would have had the possibility with 39 stripes and nine leather strands going off with bone, metal, and ivory in it, making 351 lacerations. Now, I don't know if that's what it made, but he was a bloody mess. He was nailed to a cross. He had thorns on his head. He had his whiskers yanked out of his head. He was slapped across the face. He was spat upon, so many other things. And for 3 hours, the physical bleeding, dying Jesus is mocked on the cross as He hangs there naked. And my friend, when I think of that, that is a picture for man to see of God's anger against sin. For Isaiah 53 tells us that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased God in His deity to bruise His Son in His humanity when He seen our sin. That our sin on His Son did not change His attitude about sin. And so His wrath was poured out on our sin that was on Christ. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "Who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So, repentance towards God, faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We're turning to Him and Him alone as the only way of salvation. That last 3 hours on the cross, it turned dark. That's when God, the Father, poured out His eternal wrath on God, the Son's human spirit. When Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He's crying out because there's no grace. In the garden, angels ministered to Him. In the wilderness, angels ministered to Him. But now there's no grace for Him. And there can't be in order to pay for our sin. But understand, those first 3 hours that man sees, and those last 3 hours that are even worse because it's being poured out on His human spirit, the wrath of God, that's what you and I deserve. We deserved it fully, and He took our place. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that He actually took what you deserve. And that 3 days later, He rose up bodily from the grave.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet.